Hey, being a Catholic can be boring. I know you slept through Mass at least once. What if I told you there's a way to meet theology, spirituality, and being a better Catholic fun? Tune in this Friday for a motivational, inspirational, and educational bit. The Martin K. Winter Podcast. 7 p.m. Special guest Jenny McConnell. This interview will be like young Aquinas with the wise Teresa Lisieux. And if you don't know who those two are, then this is also the right place for you. Simple, no boring words, just fun and spirit-filled. I hope to see you there.
Today we are in a bright, large classroom filled with tons of rosaries and with more books than one could imagine. A room with two pictures of past St. Thomas students, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Hernandez, who are past students of my very special guest. Very peaceful, calm room, and it was great that I had the chance to do this podcast. Resume. Good day, my name is Manrique Campos, and today I'm having the opportunity to ask a couple questions to someone I greatly look up to. This is a person that has beaten cancer 2 times and still shows me how resilient and strong she is every day. This great teacher is...
Jenny McConnell.
Hello, Ms. McConnell. How are you today?
Thank you. Very good.
That's great. Well, first of all, I'd like to get started, and I'd like to tell you guys how I first met Ms. McConnell. So I first met Ms. McConnell when I was having Mr. Dubose my freshman year, second semester, and Mr. Dubose had to use Ms. McConnell's room. And so I would take Ms. McConnell's laptop and her purse to the theology office, and I would help her out. And sometimes she would be here and now to get here before class started, and we just kind of have short little conversations. I'm not going to get into just what some of those conversations were, but they were fun conversations, and that's how I got to meet Ms. McConnell. Then throughout the year, I just spent lunch with her most of the time. So would you like to get this started, Ms. McConnell?
We can.
Do you have anything to say about you that maybe the listeners should know?
That's too broad.
Okay, well, let's start with this. How long have you been working at St. Thomas?
I'm finishing my 28th year here at St. Thomas, so next year I'll start my 29th year. And I'm finishing my 35th year in working in Catholic institutions in the Diocese of Galveston, Houston. From everything from being a youth minister to a teacher at different Catholic schools to a coordinator for the Archdiocese on their formation programs in Catholic school office. So I've been afforded many opportunities in which to grow and to serve the local church.
Wow, great. That's a long time. Thank you for your contributions to Catholic schools, Catholic community. And so what made you want to work at St. Thomas in the first place? What kind of brought you here?
St. Thomas was probably never on my radar until I taught at a couple of schools, including, I taught at St. Pius X High School, and then went to work for the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. And I had a friend here, Jeff Crandall, who asked me every year, would I come here and work? And I decided that I would apply when I decided that I wanted to leave the Archdiocese and go back to school.
Later, I asked Ms. McConnell what brought her to St. Thomas, and she told me on how she always had a connection through University of St. Thomas or St. Mary's Seminary. She also said that many fathers, which she calls greats, like Father Mike Miller, Father Jack Gallagher, and Father Richard Schieffen, who was a Newman expert, all told her St. Thomas would be fitting for her. Ms. McConnell notes that it's fitting for her to end her career at St. Thomas. Father Gallagher told her she wouldn't be suited in any other place. We then continued through the podcast. Okay, so fast forwarding a little bit to who you are today. I know you teach a Holocaust class, and I've told you that I was really interested in it. So for the Holocaust, why do you think it is important to kind of know what happened in the Holocaust as a Catholic, and how do you think we can
move on from that and make better decisions as Catholics?
That's a good question. Thank you for that question. Because the study of the Holocaust and the teaching on the Holocaust has been one of the driving aspects of my professional life and probably of my personal life. And I will say that my initial interest was found in reading of the book, The Diary of Anne Frank, as a young girl. My mother bought me the book, and we studied it in school and watched the movie. And forever I was rather intrigued as to why anyone would want to hurt Anne Frank, and you know, what about these Nazis? And I went to a public school, and at the time I was in high school, you know, you saw a little picture with people that looked like they were in pajamas, but they were awfully sick. And that was pretty much what we read about the Holocaust. So when I got into college, I had the opportunity to read some books. I read Elie Wiesel's Night. It was one of the first and probably the most famous survivor story that you could possibly, you know, pick out. And was very moved about his experience. And so the first time I went to Europe to visit my brother in Holland, I made my way to Dachau and to other Holocaust-related sites, and was further moved in my search. And then here at St. Thomas, with the opening of the Holocaust Museum Houston, I was able to go and get trained and begin traveling and going to different places. Columbia University was one I went and studied at one summer with other teachers. And then I was chosen to go on a study trip with 30 other teachers from across the country to Poland and to Israel one summer. And so, you know, traveling to all the death camps was one of the most impacting moments of my life, particularly standing in the gas chamber at Auschwitz. You know, that is forever like written in my soul. I'm not even in my head, but in my whole being. Can I feel the moment of being in that concentration camp, and particularly in the gas chamber? And, you know, connecting it to my Catholic faith is not difficult, in the sense that when you go and you read the writings of John Paul II on the Holocaust, on remembering, on our treatment of the Jews in the world, and the response of the Catholic Church to what happened in the Holocaust, it's a perfect connection. And, you know, when I read his homily about being at Auschwitz, he said that it was a modern-day Golgotha, and that, you know, he brought the possibility of light coming into such a place of darkness. So, you know, for me, I'm forever connected to Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II. And in my studies of the Holocaust, I feel like I give tribute to his dedication, along with the many survivors that I've met across the world. So I also am always surprised that I started this semester elective here on the Holocaust 24 years ago, and no one believed it would ever make. And yet here I am next year. I have yet two more elective classes of seniors taking the class, and feel like that it pairs well nicely with the work I do in theology, and the ability to connect, you know, the Holocaust to the Paschal mystery, the death of Christ, the suffering of Christ, the redemption of the world.
That's a very meaningful moment that you have shared with the listeners. And to finish it off, I would just like to share what Ms. Mia McConnell and what she kind of has done for me in my life. So I would like to thank Ms. McConnell for all the moments, and I hope we have more moments where I get to learn more from her, because she knows a lot. And a little joke I told her once was that I told her that Aquinas had Ambrose, and Augustine had a great teacher. No. Augustine had Ambrose. Aquinas had St. Gregory the Great, and Manrique has Miss McConnell.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
So,
well, I will tell you just a note on Manrique. You know, it's interesting that you always kind of find students that you know, somehow they become connected to you in unique ways, and many times they become connected to you before you even have them in the classroom. And I think any of you know Manrique, know that he's not without his, like, special moments in the classroom. But, you know, the growth of him over the last year has been pretty remarkable. And he does have quite a knack for theology and spirituality. And it'll be interesting to see what he does for all of us theology teachers here at St. Thomas. And in particular, I just would like to mention how, you know, we were talking about Bishop Barron in class one day, and he goes, well, I'm going to ask Bishop Barron to come to St. Thomas. And I was thinking, okay, go ahead. It's a better pursuit for him to do than the normal things he's doing. And then he comes back up, and he said, well, he said he would come, but he would have to come, like, on Zoom. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. He just got Bishop Barron to come to St. Thomas High School on Zoom, but nonetheless, this is still Bishop Barron, worldwide known. And sure enough, Bishop Barron showed up during lunchtime on Zoom, and the students were eating Chick-fil-A, and he noted that when he was talking with them. And Manrique, you know, hosted Bishop Barron. So, you know, Bishop Barron was quite good in answering the questions with the young people, and he interacted well with Manrique. And you know, I think everyone had the opportunity to see Manrique in a new and different way than just the Manrique that liked to be the jokester. So, you know, I think he has a lot to offer, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit and talk with him for a few minutes about some of the aspects of my life. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, everyone. And to close out this interview, I have my little line for my podcast. So I just say, I hope you listeners stay and you will stay blessed. So I hope you viewers stay and you say blessed. So
I'm blessed.
So let's try that. I hope you viewers stay
blessed.
Thank you, everyone, and I hope everyone has a good day.